The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler for the North Carolina Reading Service, and welcome to Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Best Plants, 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden by the Reader's Digest, and Tips for the Lazy Gardener by Linda Tilgner. So we'll start with Tips for the Lazy Gardener. So let's go with all-purpose cover crops. Green manures, also called cover crops, will improve soil quality. A green manure crop is plowed under right in place, adding organic matter high in nitrogen to the soil. In decomposing, it produces humic acid, which helps release locked up minerals, so you need to add less fertilizer in other forms. A green manure crop also prevents erosion and crowds out weeds. Its root system helps loosen subsoil and bring up minerals. It improves soil structure in the same way that compost does, without the hauling. A boon for the lazy gardener. Legumes such as peas and beans make a valuable addition to the soil because they have the ability to fix nitrogen, take it from the air, and bind it to their roots. After the crop has been harvested, merely use a spade or tiller to turn the plants under, right then and there, where they will quickly decompose. Green manuring in its simplest form. Pull a bean plant and examine its root system. You can see the little nodules where the nitrogen-fixing bacteria hang out. Cover crops can be a solution for a gardener who wants to be lazier but can't bear to cut down on the size of the garden. Each year, plant half the space in a green manure and the other half in vegetables. The next season, switch places. You'll have half the work, eliminate many weeds, and be lazily improving your soil at the same time. Versatile cover crops. Some cover crops are planted in spring, harvested, and turned over, all in the same season. Legumes, snap beans, soybeans, peas. Non-legumes, buckwheat, pearl millet, Sudan grass. Southern climates, cowpeas, hairy indigo, despedeza, and soybeans. Some are planted in spring and allowed to grow until the following spring. Legumes, alfalfa, clovers, alsike, red, white, sweet clovers, white, yellow. Others are planted in late summer or early fall and tilled into the soil in the spring. Legumes, hairy vetch, southern climates, clovers, burr, crimson, lupins, vetches, non-legumes, barley, brum grass, kale, oats, winter rye, annual rye grass, and wheat. Leeks are one vegetable worth starting indoors. Their seedlings are so small they'd otherwise get lost among garden weeds, and you'd find yourself pulling up all the leeks, and then you'd want to pull out your hair as well. Plant seeds anytime from January on and transplant to a trench when the garden is ready. Apply fine mulch to thwart weeds from the start. Parsley, too, is a good indoor candidate. Plant in March and set out at the same time as leeks. Winter squash needs to have time to ripen completely before first frost. Otherwise, the meat is light-colored, not nutty and flavorful, and the squash won't keep well. In northern climates, give winter squash a head start. Start indoors 6 weeks before setting out. We ate our last winter squash in early July, says a gardener who can testify to the keeping qualities of squash started in this way. Start watermelons early, too, and when you move them to the garden, plant through holes in plastic and give them plenty of water. How to avoid thinning, or how to thin easily small-seeded vegetables like carrots, lettuce, and parsley is a problem all gardeners face. There is more than one solution. Broadcast plantings can be thinned with a rake. Draw a metal garden rake across the wide row or raised bed when seedlings are little, under 1 inch tall. Let the rake tines penetrate the soil 1/4 to 1/2 inch. Planting seeds thinly and carefully takes a lot less time than laborious thinning after the plants come up, insists one precise gardener. He's a natural for square bed planting, in which each seed is planted singly and spaced carefully. Figure out how much seed you need to plant one row or bed and mix that amount with sand or dirt, and sow evenly. And now, from 1,000 Hints and Tips for Your Garden. Okay, in summer, gardening in the month of September, with your trees and shrubs, check fruit trees for fire blight and cut off any infected branches. Collect a soil sample and have it tested for nutrient content. Watch for caterpillar infestation on deciduous trees. And for your annuals, sow the seeds of annuals for winter display. Water and weed as needed. Select the best flowers for drying. Watch for signs of pests and diseases. Cut back tired annuals and apply water-soluble fertilizer to prolong blooming. And with your perennials and bulbs, plant paper white narcissus, bulbous irises, surprise or spider lilies, ranunculus, colchiums, and autumn-flowering crocuses. Cut back to promote plant vigor. Weed, water, fertilize, and deadhead as needed. Watch for signs of pests and diseases. For your roses, apply the last feeding of complete fertilizer at mid-month. Order bare root roses from mail-order nurseries for late fall or winter planting. Cultivate the soil in beds and sow the seeds of sweet alyssum as living mulch. And for your vegetables and herbs, set out transplants of cool weather vegetables like lettuce, mustard, kale, turnips, cabbage, Swiss chard, and broccoli. Plant potatoes for fall production. Check early plantings of sweet potatoes for mature tubers. Add new mulch and water thoroughly to soak the soil 8 to 12 inches deep. Watch for spider mite and stink bug infestations. For your tomatoes, use a complete foliar fertilizer to encourage vigorous growth and early production. Check plants daily for spider mites and life miners. Mulch plants with alfalfa hay, dried grass clippings, or other herbicide-free organic material. Remove the lower leaves in the fall plants to improve air circulation. and for your lawns. Keep mowing and watering. Dethatch Permoda grass. Apply 3:1:2 fertilizer or recommended rates on Bermuda and Zoysia grasses. Apply pre-emergent herbicides on Bermuda grass as needed. Overseed Bermuda grass with perennial ryegrass to keep lawn green through winter. Seed 6 to 8 weeks before frost and before Bermuda grass goes dormant. And for patio and container plants, monitor plants daily for water and fertilizer needs and pest control. Replace summer plants with fall and winter annuals as soon as cooler weather arrives. Continue pinching back and deadheading as needed. Prepare the soil in containers for new plantings by adding organic matter for better water retention and sand or perlite for good drainage. And from Tips for the Lazy Gardener by Linda Tilner. Save time when you harvest asparagus. Snap it off where the stalk toughens. Eliminate the chore of having to do this again in the kitchen. Increase yields and avoid injury to emerging spears by not cutting below the ground as was once recommended. That practice is to the advantage of the commercial grower as it improves the keeping qualities of asparagus. But we home growers rush it from garden to pot anyway, right? Harvest asparagus every day during the season. Once you let some stalks open into ferns, the harvest diminishes. In warm regions, let 3 or 4 mother stalks of asparagus grow up from each plant after the harvest. Then sneak a second season by breaking off some of the new spears that emerge later on. To harvest rhubarb stalks, hold near the bottom, twist and pull so that the stalk separates where it joins to the plant. Do not cut the stalks or the juices will run from the cut, weakening the plant. And the remaining stalk will rot, inviting problems. Red Valentine is better than the old green-stalked variety, which turns gray when you cook it, suggests a rhubarb fan. To freeze, chop, and put it in a bag, period. Rhubarb is a favorite among lazy gardeners. Easy to grow, easy to harvest, pest-free, and easy to freeze. The best keeper among winter squashes is butternut. Triple duty vegetables appeal to the lazy gardener. Try Park's Kuta, K-U-T-A, squash. Eat young like summer squash. Eat at mid-size like eggplant. Eat at maturity like winter squash. It can be stored at this stage. Plant burpees. Triple treat pumpkins, good for jack-o'-lanterns, pies, and high-protein snacks from the hulless seeds. You can eat the seeds raw or roasted. To prepare, scoop them out, wash, and separate from fiber. Spread thinly on paper towels and dry for a few days in a warm, airy place. To roast, toss 2 cups of seeds with 1.5 tablespoons of oil and a sprinkling of salt and place in a 250-degree oven until golden brown. Watch carefully and shake the pan every now and then. Bush beans come, all come at once, and picking can be a back-breaking chore. Shave your back and extend the harvest for a longer time by choosing pole beans instead. Kentucky Wonder or Romano Italian Pole are delectable steamed when young. If you tire of fresh beans or you go on vacation, Let the pods mature and use them as shell beans, either immediately or dried for winter meals. I never bend over to pick bush beans, John Page says. He explains that since most of the beans come at once, particularly in determinate varieties, there's no sense in courting a backache simply because you hope to get the few beans that will appear after the main picking. Just pull out the bean plant, take off all the beans while you're standing up, and throw the plant in the compost. Have a second planting underway for another harvest. If you don't want to bother with supports for pole beans, but you'd like to extend the harvest for bush beans, choose varieties that produce over a longer time period of time. Royal Burgundy, Bush Blue Lake, Cherokee Wax, Eagle, Black Valentine, or Contender. Thin fruit trees in spring, so fruits are 6 to 10 inches apart. Trees will produce larger fruit, will have less damage from worms, and will set more fruit next year. Potato growers in coastal areas should try a trick used in Maine for decades. Dig a trench about 6 inches wide and 6 inches deep. Fill with seaweed. Place chunks of seed potatoes at intervals of 10 to 12 inches, then cover them with 4 to 6 inches of seaweed. At harvest time, pull back the seaweed and pick up the potatoes. There's none of that tiresome digging. Now, gardening in the month of September. As summer winds down to fall, it is time to clean up the garden and plan for next spring. Water trees and shrub less, allowing them to harden off before winter sets in. Remove spent annuals and compost them. Keep after the weeds and the slugs. Fall care of annuals, perennials, and bulbs. It's time to plant perennial seeds and bulbs. After soil temperature drops below 60 degrees in the fall months, the spring flowering bulbs of tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, Siberian squill, dwarf irises, anemone, and crocus should be planted. Select healthy, disease-free bulbs. Add bone meal or bulb fertilizer into the planting hole as you prepare the soil. Winter pansies, ornamental kale and cabbage, and fall blooming chrysanthemums can be planted now to give a little color to the garden when the summer flowers have faded away. Scatter the seeds of wildflowers in rows or in open beds this month so that the young seedlings will be ready to be transplanted into their permanent spot next spring. As the weather cools, perennials that have overgrown their space or become crowded should be dug and divided or moved to a new area of the garden. New and replacement perennials should also be planted this month. Tender bulbs like dahlias should be dug up and stored in a cool, dark area after the first frost. Shrubs and trees. Fall is an excellent time to shop for plants, trees, and shrubs. Fall planting encourages good root development, allowing the plants to get established before spring. If weather is dry, provide water up until the ground freezes. Stop fertilizing your trees and flowering shrubs to allow this year's growth to harden off before winter. Fruits and vegetable gardens. Harvesting fruits and vegetables is the best part of growing them. As is often the case, you may have produced much more of certain type than your family can consume. Share the abundance of squash and tomatoes with friends and neighbors, and don't forget about your local food bank or second harvest organization. Although most fruits and vegetables are best when eaten fresh on the day they're picked, you can extend the season by freezing, drying, storing, or canning. Fruits and vegetables should be checked regularly for ripeness. A little practice and experience will tell you when your produce is at its peak of flavor, and that is when it should be harvested. Plum trees should be pruned right after harvest to ensure a bountiful crop next year. Once the tops of onions have withered, the bulbs should be lifted and dried in a warm, dry, sunny location for about 10 days. Then they should be stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Some root crops, such as carrots, onions, and parsnips, can be left in the ground in cold climates and dug up as needed. Apply enough mulch to keep the ground from freezing, and the crop will be kept fresh until it is needed. After you have finished harvesting your summer vegetables, plant a cover crop of clovers, cowpeas, soybeans, or vetches for the purpose of plowing under next spring. These nitrogen-producing plants will provide good organic matter and food for your garden crops next year, as well as helping to control weeds over the winter. Odds and ends, mark your perennials with permanent tags or stakes, or create a map showing their location so you'll know where and what they are when they die back at the end of the season. This will help you to avoid accidentally digging up something you intended to keep when you work in the garden this fall and next spring. One last effort at weeding will help to improve the appearance of your garden throughout the winter. The birds will soon begin their winter migrations. Give them a helping hand by providing them with some food and water in their journey. No one likes to travel on an empty stomach, and you may even persuade a few of them to stick around for the winter if they know they have a reliable food source. Continue to watch for insect, slug, and snail, or disease damage throughout the garden, and take the necessary steps to control the problem. We have run out of time. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen same time next week. We hope you have enjoyed it. I am Cindy Fowler, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.